1. 20 months later. Centered on the sun-soaked island of Malta, the ancient city of Mdina stands tall and brusque, a defiant island of brown, whose vaulted bastions amplify the country's most prominent hill. Though incorporating no more than 1 square kilometer, the palaces and narrow streets of the medieval city have stood the tests of 1,000 harsh summers, dozens of military campaigns, and, in a more contemporary test of endurance, the annual invasion of 1 million tourists each year. For all these reasons, Mdina is a place in constant need of repair. Most in demand are good stonemasons. On the falling afternoon, with a classic portrait of burnt orange clinging to the western sky, a solitary mason put his finishing touches to the foot of an arch near the nunnery of St. Benedict. The repair, a reissue of a simple decorative facade that bore no weight, was the kind of touch-up that had played out regularly over the last millennium. And while the cement was perhaps a more uniform mix than the mud used by craftsmen of past eras, the hammer and chisel the mason used to shape the flat faces and fitted angles were virtually unchanged, notwithstanding the likes of rubberized handles and carbide tips. Stoneworkers in other towns on the island had relented to more contemporary instruments, heavy masonry saws and compressed air power tools, yet such advances were not favored in the old city. The patron who today commissioned repairs here, a city formerly administered by the likes of knights and noblemen, was the Maltese Ministry for Tourism, Culture, and Environmental Affairs, a body with an unyielding eye for absolute authenticity. In a curious twist of fate, the fact that this craftsman was not a native Maltese was squarely in line with tradition. Having existed for so long at the geographic crossroads of Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, the time-tested stonework of Malta had been raised almost exclusively by journeyman masons. The man stood back to regard his work, a chisel and damp cloth in his calloused hands. After a 10-hour day, he was gray-suited in sweat and dust, the only exception being a pair of clear gray eyes, and tiny streams on his face and neck where rivulets of sweat had washed the skin clear. The heat and sun were a constant here, although in early February, the Mediterranean winter was at the height of its relief. All the same, the city seemed to draw a long breath as its shadows leaned to darkness. The mason compared the column he'd repaired to its sister 4 meters away. It was good, he decided. The cuts were accurate, and the color of the stone a reasonably close match. Those effects he could not simulate were the ones carved by time, the gentle erosion of mortar channels, edges nicked by handcarts, stains from spilled wine. These would come in due course. He bent down with his hammer and chisel and made his mark next to another, an artisan's signature that had, he guessed knowledgeably, most likely been hewed sometime in the late 16th century. That done, he began packing his tools in a handcase. Tomorrow he would regard his work in better light, perhaps make a few alterations, and wash things down for the last time. And then he would move on to his next job, 2 collapsed pillars in the catacombs of St. Paul. For a mason, Mdina and the surrounding city of Rabat were not a series of day jobs. They were a career. A spindly young boy scurried up the street with a broom in his hand and stopped next to the mason.
All done, sir? He asked in Maltese.
The mason kept to the language he'd picked up over the last months, if only in a colloquial sense.
Done for the day.
He reached into his pocket, pulled out a 2-euro coin, and flipped it through the air. The boy snatched it cleanly.
When you're done cleaning up, take the tools with you. Meet me tomorrow at the catacombs.
The catacombs?